Let's all say amen. I want to say good morning to everyone. I want to thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for those that are assembling with us in the audience this morning, and even those through technology are worshiping with us this morning. We're thankful for your presence. Amen. I want to say, if you are here this morning and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that it is our desire that you will become a member of the Church of Christ. It's my responsibility to share with you what God requires. I also want you to understand the importance of that on this morning. So we're going to again want to welcome you on this morning. Go ahead and put up our presentation this morning, my brothers. Thank you. This is my subject this morning. Given unto us, God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This sermon is a follow-up to the lesson I gave about physical healthiness. This message is of the greatest importance because it will discuss from the Bible how one can first become spiritually healthy, and then maintain your spiritual healthiness. How one can become spiritually healthy. And then secondly, how is it from the Bible that I can maintain my spiritual healthiness? Yeah. I think it's of the greatest importance, and I hope the Lord say the same that I do according to my ability to share with you what God has said in his word. If you're in the audience and you are not spiritual, I'll show you from the Bible how one becomes spiritually healthy, and then how we keep it, how we keep it. I'd like to start with this verse. Because it lets us know that whenever we assemble to worship the Word of God, or to study the Word of God, we are studying together. And as Paul told them, the purpose for our studying is to show ourselves approved unto God. However, the only way one shows himself approved unto God is to apply what he has learned. Yeah. And it's my responsibility, as Paul said, to rightly divide the word of truth. That's my responsibility. Our responsibility this morning is to study the word of God. And if you make application, then one becomes approved unto God, because Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, whosoever heareth and doeth these sayings of mine, I liken him unto a wise man. Amen? So let's look at how Peter. Well, if you get some time, just sit down with Peter and allow the word of God. And I share this, I'd like to share this, that sometimes as we are going through our day, sometimes it is just good just to sit down and get the word of God. And just look at, I'll show you this morning, how Peter wrote two letters to Christians. And how when I read those letters, I can see what Peter saw and what he wanted the Christians that was going through trial. We're going through it now down here. But Peter said in his letter, according as his divine power, You see the word divine, that means from God, has given unto us, and that us is Christians. Peter said, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Peter said that the word life here represents spiritual health. Peter said, God has given us everything we need to be spiritually healthy. Yeah. He said, and godliness. Godliness is the character and behavior necessary to maintain your spiritual health. Peter said, God has given it to us. And how has he given it to us? Peter said that. He said, through. How you get it, Peter? Through. It's through something. Peter said, it is through the knowledge of him that has called us. God has called us, those are the Christians, to glory and virtue. And Peter says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Going to heaven is precious. Going, being with the Lord is a great and a precious promise. He said that by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature. The word partaker, that word means a partner. Now, I have on this earth a partner. Somebody say partner. Yeah, you in the fofo, you got a partner. I got one. I got an intimate partner. She's sitting right there in that pink. Yeah, that's my partner. The closest I got on earth, that's her. Well, Peter said that those that are Christians, you got a partner. Yeah. You got a partner. That partner is the relationship that you have with the Lord. Yes, whenever you think that you ain't got nobody, you got somebody. Yeah. Paul said one time in Timothy's letter, he said, the Lord stood with me. So when you going through stuff, understand this. Just like at home, I got a partner. I got a partner on earth. But when it comes to spiritual matters and spiritual situations, Peter wanted them to know that you might be partners or partaker of the divine nature. God has a nature, it's divine. He said, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yeah, the world is corrupted because of lust. People want to do what they want to do. And those things that they want to do, those desires that they have, when they're not consistent with the word of God, that's sin. Paul Peter tells us that. He told them that. To understand that you got somebody. You got somebody. And you are in partnership with him. You got the Lord. You got Jesus Christ. He becomes, when you become a Christian, he becomes your eldest brother. The oldest spiritual brother I have is Jesus Christ, because he's also the son of the Father. And so Peter said, in my title, he's given unto us all things, change the life of godliness. How's that so, Peter? Peter said, and besides this, Now, the word beside here is talking about what you got to do. What you got to do. And besides this, yeah, we have a small part in our salvation. God did the heavy work. He said, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Yeah. No one has spiritual health until you have faith. Yeah. Yeah. Understand this. The only way one has faith is according to the Bible. And Peter talked about it. Oh, Peter talked about it. So what is? Before we talk about those other things, Peter said, you got to have this first. You got to have faith first. So Peter, how do I get that? Just go back and read my letter. What is biblical faith? In his first letter, Peter said in verse 21, chapter 1, who by him, talking about Christ, do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory. That's your what? Yeah. Your faith and your hope. If you hope to go to heaven, your faith and your hope is in the belief that God raised Christ from the dead, and that your faith and hope might be in, it's got to be in God. Yeah. So that's what I believe. That's the text for the basis of my faith, is the fact that somebody got to teach me that Jesus Christ lived on earth according to the Bible, that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Bible, and that God raised Christ up from the dead. That's where my faith is. Yeah. And then Peter said in the second chapter, he said, who has, talking about Christ, who has his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What Peter was saying to them in his first letter, what you need to know is that the Lord not only died in our behalf, but he also died in our place. Yeah. He didn't just die for me. He took my place. Christ allowed the penalty of the law for sin to fall on his shoulders. All of us, Paul said, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what Jesus did, Peter wanted them to know that Jesus bore our sins in his body when they nailed him on that cross. That we, through obedience, become dead to sin, and then we can live unto righteousness. He said, by whose stripes you were healed. And the word healed here is not talking about healed from a disease. That word is used figuratively. We are healed for the salvation of the soul from sin is what we healed from. Yeah, Peter said that. How do we do that, Peter? Peter told him in the next chapter, what man calls chapter 3. Peter said that like figure, whereunto even baptism, talking about water, doeth also now save us. Peter said it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So one, need to understand that you have no spiritual health until you do what Peter has just told them in his first letter. You got to believe that God raised up Jesus from the dead. You have to believe that Jesus died for our sin. You have to believe that. So you have to hear it. You have to believe it. You have to repent of your sin. You have to confess. And I'll show that from what Jesus said in the Bible. But I have to do that. And Peter said, the culminating act, understand this here, baptism separates the lost from the saved. Everybody. Faith is teaching me, and I have to be obedient and understand this here. There are those that procrastinate. You may have friends, you may have family members that you've taught them and you tried to teach them, and they still don't want to be baptized. Well, they need to understand that if they die in that procrastination, they are lost according to the Bible. If you're sitting here this morning, right now, and you haven't been taught by a Christian, not by nobody in denominationalism, because they are also lost. Let me say that in love. Yeah. You have to obey. You sitting here this morning and you haven't done this. If you die right now, there is no chance in the world that you're going to go to heaven. Because you didn't obey the Lord. Sometimes we sit here and we come here and we hear it. And understand this here, I've learned this. Sometimes when we are taught something and we don't act on it that first time we hear it, the devil will give us reasons. Or we'll give ourselves reason not to do it from that point on. Amen. Yeah. How many times have you got ready, you should have done something and you didn't do it. And then that you can come up with excuses now why not to do it. Yeah, that's called procrastination. Yeah, don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate. So let's get into this spiritual health. Oh, man. Peter said. So we talked about faith. Now, this is important. The word is octave. Those that are in music understand that. About O-C-T-A-V-E. That means there are octave means there are eight notes. Eight notes. Peter gave us eight notes. And each note, you know, it's like, I know Brother Curry Lee singing sometime. He said, you know, I need the basses to come out. He said, Brother Timo, I need the bass. I need you right now, Brother Timo. I need you. He said, sopranos, I need you all. Altos, I need you all. You know, tenors, I need you to come on up. Baritones, I need you. Because those that know music, Brother Hill, those, you know that you need all those voices blending together. Those are the song people. Y'all know that. You know, I need that bass. I need that bass. I need that alto. I need you to come in. Sopranos, I need you. Why? Because when all of those voices blend together, you have harmony in singing. So what Peter did in this letter, he gave us octaves. He gave us eight notes. Each one, don't miss this, each one supplies the other one. So when you're singing, you need that voice to come in to blend in. Each one of these graces builds on or supplies the other one. So now, faith will supply virtue. Don't miss it. Yeah. The faith that I just, your belief in God will supply virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is the courage, energy, and the determination to do that which is right. That comes based on your faith. Amen, somebody. Yeah, so faith supplies you with virtue. Yeah, I believe in God. I trust in God. And now I have the courage, I have the energy, I have the determination to try to do that which is, yeah. It starts with faith. Yeah. Sometimes when our faith is little, the Bible talks about three different types of faith. Sometimes the Bible talks about little faith. Sometimes the Bible talks about no faith. Yeah. So it starts with my faith. My faith supplies me with virtue. Paul in the letter of Philippians said, if there be any, you gotta have virtue. Yeah, you gotta have virtue. So my faith supplies me with virtue. You know, sometimes when life begins to take you down, sometimes we, even as Christians, sometimes we don't have the courage to do that which is right. That means you don't have, faith haven't helped you with your virtue. Yeah. Peter said, add to your faith virtue. And then Peter said, now that I got my faith, I obeyed the Lord, I became a Christian, I believed in Jesus Christ, Son of God, and I got water baptized for the forgiveness of my sin. Now I have courage and I'm determined to do what the will of God. Now someone got to teach me. You got to be taught. Peter said, add to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge is to come to know and to understand. Ephesians 5:17 says, what do you understand? What the will of the Lord is. You got to study. And let me say this to all of us. Brother Stroud, I'm preaching to myself too. If you don't make time to study the Bible every day, you doing your own self and your spiritual health a disservice. Say amen if you want to. God gave each of us the same amount of time, 24 hours. I have to prioritize my time. And my encouragement to you as a Christian, when your feet hit the floor, make time when you first get up. You get your breakfast, you get your coffee, you get whatever you want to get. Get the Bible. Yeah. Acts 17:11 said they search the scriptures every day. So I'm just telling you, you're not spiritual health if you ain't studying every day. Yeah. And that's why sometimes when, and we'll talk about this here, when trials come, sometimes we fold. We give up. I talked about, we're going to talk about it again today. Those of us, when we worry, that's sin. Jesus said it. Any of us that worry, that is sin according to the Bible. We're going to talk about it more. Stay in Bible class. As soon as I finish preaching, 10 minutes after that, we're going to get started. We're going to go back and see. The cure for worry. You sitting there, you worry about this, you worry about COVID, you worry about the pandemic, you worry about all this stuff here. If you worrying, Jesus, that's it, is sin. We showed that in the Bible last Sunday in Bible class. 4 times. When Jesus said, take no thought, that means do not be anxious, do not worry. That's what Jesus said. 4 times he said it. So that's a command. That's not an option. When Jesus says something, that's a command. So when you do it, that is sinful. That's Matthew 6:24-34. Yeah, Jesus talks about that. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for this. Don't worry about this here. Yeah, where's your faith? That's where it starts with. I got to have some faith. I got to trust in God. Yeah. My faith supplies my virtue. I got courage. I'm determined. I want to do what's right. Now I got to be taught. I got to study the Word of God to know what the will of the Lord is. And then Peter said, unto knowledge, temperance, and the temperance, patience, and the patience, godliness. So now, that once I get knowledge of the Word of God, I'm studying the Word of God, and let me say this to all of us. Wherever you start with the Lord, that's what grade you in. Amen. In our secular system, we start our children out now. They have pre-K, they have K, they have first grade on elementary school, then you have middle school, you have high school. So you have to start wherever you are. Our brother Foreman has a first principle class to get people. Sometimes even as a person being the Lord, I can be in high school and go back and learn again simple arithmetic, division, subtraction. I can still go back. Yeah. Peter says, to your knowledge, temperance. What is temperance, Peter? Temperance is the ability of one to control their actions. How, Peter? Through the understanding of the Word. You see how that connects? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. When I got to get knowledge first. Yeah. Yeah. I got to know from the Word of God that something is wrong. Yeah, I got to know that we have not. Stealing is wrong. Paul said in Ephesians 4, let him that stole steal no more. I got to know that it's wrong. That was control my actions. The Word of God helped me with my ability to control myself. Yeah. You can't be a Christian and have self-control. You know, sometimes some of you all say, excuse my French. You don't speak French. You have trouble speaking English. I done listened to you. Yeah, no, what you want to do is you want to curse somebody out. That's sinful. Bible talks about let no filthy communication come from your mouth. Anytime you use, as you call it, a four-letter word, you are sinning. And what that shows is that you don't have the ability to control yourself. Yeah. Amen. I can get upset with somebody and say what I want, but I still got to say it right. Yeah, I'd be upset with Sister Strauss. Can I talk to you for a minute? Yeah. It'd be smoke coming out my ears when she come up in here. Yeah, I'm steaming. I'm smoking. Yeah. But most of the time I'm smoking because I done wrong, Sister Tima. Yeah, because it's dry. You know, ain't going to hurt nobody. Ain't going to do nothing to nobody. Yeah, I thank God for her. Yeah. And I'm saying sometimes we have to have those in relationships. You got to help each other out. Yeah, and I'm saying even those that are single, you got to have a friend that will check you. That would check and say, no, you know, me and Brother Ellaby talk, or those that know Brother Ellaby talk sometimes, and he say, Bo, let me run this by you. What you think? And see, I'm on the outside looking in. I ain't putting no feelings into it. Yeah, because oftentimes when we deal with stuff, we put in feelings. Yeah, no, you can't walk around and base everything on how you feel. You got to base it on what the Bible says. That's your intellect. What does the Word of God teach you? But Peter said, temperance, self-control. That's how you control yourself. He talked to Felix about that. He said, Felix, man, let me tell you something. You around here, running around here, you're killing everybody, you're doing what you want to do, you and Drusilla doing all that stuff here. He said, let me talk to you something about, you're going to also, not only about, let me talk to you about righteousness, let me talk to you about temperance, let me talk to you about the judgment, because you, all of us need to understand, you're going to face God with these actions. Yeah, some of us walk around here doing stuff that we know we ought not be doing. Understand this here. You need to repent of that because you're going to face God about this stuff. God expects all of us to control ourselves. Anytime Brother Stroud acts out of character, I'm wrong. And I need to be able to come. Sister Hill, I apologize. I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry for raising my voice. Do yourself my apology. Yeah. And understand this here. People ain't got to accept your apology because according to Mark 2:10, Jesus is the only one that can forgive sin. I'm just asking you to forgive me. Yeah. You know, sometimes we get, some of us get a little, well, I ain't ready to forgive you. What you mean you ain't ready to forgive me? You know how we get sometimes. Yeah. I ain't ready yet. What you mean you ain't ready yet? Yeah. Let me see that. Mark 2:10. Let me show you that in the Bible. Yeah. You got to understand what the Bible says. Well, I ain't ready yet. You got to get ready. Jesus said that you may know. And I try to do this. I don't like to just use scripture, but I want to use it whenever I go outside my text. So those, I want to take the approach that somebody may not know what the Bible, where it's at in the Bible. Amen? Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive. Yeah. So when you go to somebody, you done wronged them, but Tim, I want to, apologize. The best thing you need to do is say, I accept your apology. Because Peter said, Lord, how many times? He said, 7 times? No, Lord said, just keep doing it. Stop trying to be the judge and the jury. Just forgive people. And some of us in here, we need to forgive one another. Yeah. Because the understanding is here. Other people know. When you ain't, you came, my wife used to turn me, I had to go and learn that from Brother Ward. Other people know when you can't set horses. Yeah. Anybody watch them Western? My wife loved Western. She'll watch Gunsmoke, the Gunsmoke won't come home. I have to go in there queue sometimes, say, babe, come on. And I be telling her, babe, you need to understand, almost every episode, either Matt Dillon gonna get shot or he gonna shoot somebody. There's not an episode that somebody gonna die on Gunsmoke. I said, babe, and she be sitting there, I said, Ma, you better watch yourself, girl. She loved that. Yeah. Yeah, she don't think Chester be doing enough in the program. She be wanting to Chester. She like Fester. You know, Chester don't want to fight nobody. Chester's all about, yeah. But you know, Fester's a fight his parents. You know how that guy is. Yeah. So you got on, is that all right? Yeah. So she like Westerns and Gunsmoke and just enjoying ourselves. I said, babe, come on, we gotta, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my wife, she love, yeah. I talk about my family. 2 things, about Tima. Gunsmoke and Astros. That's it. Yeah, you talk about Altuve. I might be sleeping outside. Yeah. Babe, Altuve ain't hit. Watch your mouth. Yeah. That's okay. We in first place. Amen. Somebody. Yeah. Talk about my Astros. We 1.5 game behind the Yankees. We going to get them too. Yeah. Amen. Somebody. And don't let us win and have first place in the AL West, AL Conference, where they have to come down here and play. Because we'll go up there and take care of them there. Yeah, if they come down here, you know it's show enough on. Yeah. Drop that on a sports fan. Yeah. And see, y'all need to realize, last year when we went to World Series, we lost McCullers. We lost our top pitcher. And we had to fight with, you know what I'm saying? one hand tied behind our back. But we got Verlander this year, and Sister Stroud said he's a beast. I said, and I said, babe, how was Verlander? Babe, he's a beast. Yeah. Amen, somebody. I'm just saying we got to enjoy each other. Enjoy life. I go up there, I say, Ma, you ready? I said, babe, well, time out. It's time for the Astros. I said, take my seat. Yeah. He said, and turn that volume down on me, not on the TV. Yeah. Amen, somebody. I'm just talking about that. I'm saying, but that's what, like, that's my partner. Don't miss that, what I just said. That's my partner. That's why we go through. I was telling Brother Boozer, I said, Sister Stroud trying to, she trying to get a little heavy in them dominoes, because one time we played, she kind of whooped me a little bit, and so I kind of took that personal. Yeah. Because I want to keep up under this wing when we playing dominoes. Yeah. I'm talking to us about enjoying life. Enjoying one another. But we got to have these graces that Peter talked about. Amen? Let me get there. Control yourself. Control yourself. So now, if I'm able to control myself, Peter said, now you're able to control yourself. Now you have patience. Patience is the ability to deal with life difficulties and the resistance of doing evil. That's what patience is. So see, when I got self-control, now I'm able to deal with stuff. Some of us as Christians, we don't want to patience allows you to deal with life on life terms. Yeah. COVID may not never go away. Yeah. But if I have what Peter said I need after I get self-control, I can deal with it. And I don't have to do wrong. Yeah. Give me an example, Brother Stroud, of how patience and deal. Well, you know, I'm getting ready to do my taxes. And this past year was tight on me. And I really could use some extra money. So what I do, I kind of play with them numbers so that I can get more back than I'm supposed to get. But when you have patience, I can suffer the loss and not try to do wrong to better myself. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, in your patience, possess your soul. It's every one of our responsibility to be able to deal with life. Yeah. I know sometimes when people get older, our seniors, and I'm experiencing this now, when you get older, sometimes, as we get older, that older person reverts back to childlike behavior. Sometimes. You know, you say, well, Mama, you need to take your medicine. I don't want to take no medicine. Well, Mama, I don't want to do that. Yeah. But that's for your betterment. You know, young people, teenagers, when they get to the point that I don't want to go to school. What you mean you don't want to go to school? Yeah. You may not want to live. Yeah. So I'm saying that I have to be able to deal, and I think I'm saying that as we get older, life becomes more difficult. Maintaining your health becomes a challenge. It's difficult. However, what patience does, it allows me to deal with life and I don't start doing bad stuff. Why? Because Jesus said, possess your souls. Amen? So, my self-control helps my patience. And then Peter says, I'm able to deal with life, now, Peter said, godliness comes. When I can deal with life on life terms and I can control myself, I'm studying the word of God, I have the courage to do what God said, I have trust in God, now, Peter said, godliness appears. That is a submissive honor. Notice I submit. Honor and loyalty that is shown to God. I show this to God. Not only that, I have a desire to please him, and that's the motive for what I do, what I do. Why I'm here on Sunday morning? Because of my godliness. What you mean, Brother Stroud? I'm trying to honor God and worshiping him. I'm showing loyalty to God. I have a desire. That's my motivation in my actions. Yeah. Peter said, godliness is profitable in everything. In everything. Yeah. So all of this is to get us to be godly. Yeah. Yeah. But it begins. Now, remember, everything supplies everything else. If I don't get the temperance I needed, self-control, then I don't have the patience necessary, then I can't be godly. Some of us still struggle. We struggle with that stuff. That's why I'm trying to do according to ability to show us so we can start. Again, as I said, 2 Timothy 2:15, you got to apply all of these things. Yeah. How does the song sound sometimes we don't have no bass in there? You don't have the altos coming in. You can sing, you know how you sing sometimes and it sounds. Notice he had two other things. Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Remember now, all of these bills. So the top one is charity. You start off with faith. You're going up steps as a Christian. What does kind of mean, Brother Stroud? Yeah, that's where we get the word Philadelphia. That we call it the city of brotherly. They call it. That's from the Bible. See, sometimes we know stuff. People do stuff. We don't even know why. That come from the Bible. That's the Greek word, brotherly love. Love of the brother. Yeah. And these are Christians. If you're a Christian, and if somebody that you don't love, you in sin. That's a commandment. That's not an option. Yeah, but you have to work on himself to love everybody. You have to work on yourself. Yeah. And I'm going to show you what love really is. I ain't talking about what you think it is. I'm going to show you what it is. Yeah. But notice what involved brotherly kindness. Romans 12:10, Paul wrote, be kindly affectionate. You got to have affection for someone. I got to love this brother. I got to have affection for the brother. When I see the brother, I got to say, good morning, brother. It's good to see you. I have affection for her, for him. Yeah. Yeah. We got to learn even in that. Let me say this right now. We're going to get, when I get in the Timothy letter, Lord said the same, we get there, I'm going to get there. The Bible talks about you got to treat everybody right. Brothers, you got to treat an older sister as like your mother. You got to treat a senior brother like your father. You got to treat another sister like she is your sister. and another brother like your brother. If you do those, you won't be hitting on people. Yeah. I got to be respectful of everybody. Yeah. And then Peter said, and remember, this is the highest note. This is the highest note. When Peter talked about charity. Charity, charity, charity. What is love according to the Bible? Now, parents, I want y'all parents that have children, you should see this. Other people miss it. You're supposed to understand what it is. What is it, Brother Stroud? Charity is doing what is spiritually best for others. Doing what is spiritually best for others, whether they deserve it or not, and regardless of what it may cost. Yeah. Yeah. Parents, think about how sometimes we took 2, 3, all kind of jobs because it was best for the children. Yeah. Whether the children was bad or good, don't matter. They still mine. That's the love. That's agape love. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And even as Christians, with other people, we have to learn, if we have the love the Bible talks about, that I do what's best spiritually for that person. It don't matter. Well, he don't deserve it. That ain't your business. You getting out of your lane, Brother Stroud. That ain't up to you. Well, he don't deserve it. And do you deserve everything you get? Amen. Peter said, if all of these graces are in you, we got this? We good? We see what love is? Like I said, parents know that. Parents, when the children growing up, you up with them and they sick. You up with them when you doing this here. You got one eye open, one eye closed. You ain't got no sleep. Cause you stand up with them children. Yeah. And you know how children be when they growing up. They want to stay up when you want to sleep and they want to sleep when you want to. Yeah. Sometimes parents don't be giving them nothing to put them to sleep. I know some of y'all. Yeah. I know what you all do. Yeah. Give them a little toddy. Say, I need some sleep. That's wrong. Yeah, that patient, you got to deal with it. That's why you the parent. Let me say this about parents, too, while I'm here. I'm going to get in this when I get into Timothy. But understand this here. The last time I checked, no child asked to be here. No child asked to be here. You brought them here. That's your response, sir. Yeah. 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 Brother Stroud, teach what the Bible says. Let the chips fall. That's love. So what does this do for me, Peter? What does this do for me? And I'm closing. Peter said, for if these things, he called them things, be in, and the word abound here means to multiply. So if I got self-control, I want my self-control to develop even more. If I got patience, I want it to grow some more. Yeah. If I got virtue, I want it to grow some more. I got godliness, I want it to grow some more. He said, if they be in you and abound, they keep growing. Peter said, they make you, watch this here now, that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter said, as he go on, I didn't put on the check, but I'll share it with you. Peter said also, he said in verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. You ain't just getting in into the everlasting kingdom of an everlasting, verse 11, kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let me just tell the church, this is my responsibility to you. Yeah, I want to tell you where I am in life. I'm in verse 12, where Peter said, wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Peter said, yea, I think it fit a meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's my job, to this, my responsibility to this congregation. Yeah. I'm going to stir you up from the word of God. I'm stirring myself up too. Yeah. But Peter said, if you have these things in you and you're working on them, Peter said, you won't be unfruitful. You'll be fruitful in the Lord. Let me just say, all of us have responsibility. We're finna talk about getting the ministers up and running. We had a great meeting yesterday. We're going to get the ministers running. And I'm saying to every member here, you ought to be a part of one of the ministers. Find one that best suits you and serve. You got to be fruitful. You can't be, if you unfruitful, he said when the word barren, that word means idle, not doing nothing. Some of us come to worship and we leave and we ain't doing. I don't visit the sick. I don't call on nobody. I just come in. I take the Lord's Supper and I leave. You're not fruitful. Yeah. That's my message. Thank you for your patience. Has given unto us all things that pertain to spiritual health and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus. He gave it to Peter. You're here today. You're not a Christian. I want you to just hear what Jesus said. All this stuff, what Jesus said. The five acts. One must become a Christian. Five of them. Jesus first said, but he said, ye rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. First thing you got to do, you got to hear. You got to hear the word of God. First thing. Secondly, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God that you believe. We talked about that already. You got to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, he rose again 3rd day. You got to believe on him. That's Jesus who he sent. So I got to hear the gospel. I got to believe the gospel. On the one that Jesus, that God sent, is Jesus. You got to believe that. Then, Jesus said, I tell you, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance means you got to turn from the life that you're living. You got to do an about face and turn to Jesus. It starts with a change of mind, which then will change your behavior. That's where knowledge and teaching comes in. But you got to repent. You got to repent. You hear the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Jesus died, buried, rose again 3rd day. You believe it, you repent of your sin. Then Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me, you confess that what Jesus did, before men. Him will I, Jesus said, will I confess also before my Father which is heaven. Jesus also said, if you don't deny me, I'm going to deny you. You have to confess, you have to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then Jesus said, he that believeth and is, we talked about already, baptized, shall be saved from his past sin. You're saved, you're not eternally saved, you're saved from your past sin. Jesus said, if you don't believe, you shall be damned. So if you're sitting here this morning, and you're on our conference call, get in contact with them. But if you're sitting here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Right. That's the only church in the Bible. Jesus, according to Acts 20:28, gave his blood, shed his blood for, he purchased the church with his blood. He paid for it. It belongs to him. There's only one. So you have to understand it. Now you don't have to believe it. Yeah. You don't have to believe it. But understand this here. You can procrastinate. And I'm trying to encourage you. You sitting in that seat today. Get up. Come down here. What I do, Brother Stroud? You come down here and you make the, I'll let you, I want to become a Christian. You'll make the statement. I want to make this clear. You make the statement. I do believe. I say, well, you make the statement that you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we're going to take you in the back. We're going to baptize you. Then according to Acts 2:47, the Lord, not man, the Lord adds you to the Church of Christ. Now you are a Christian. Now you have the faith that you can add to. Until then, you are spiritually dead. Yeah. Yeah. That's my message this morning. I hope I bless you with understanding how one acquire spiritual health and how it's maintained. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. Brother Stroud himself trying to work on those things. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes just ask a person, you know, Sister Stroud, how do you think I'm doing as a husband? How do you think I'm doing as a father? And don't you try to grade yourself. Let her grade you. Amen, somebody. Yeah, sometimes relationship, we got to find out how we do, what the other person think about you. Well, I think you need to pick up on this here. I'm going to work on those things. And I'm saying all of these things, once we acquire them, Peter said they have to abound, we have to multiply them. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, we send an invitation to you to come forth this morning and obey the Lord as together we stand and sing a verse of him. Thank you very much.